أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا يغرنك تقلب الذين كفروا في البلاد، متاع قليل ثم مأواهم جهنم وبئس المهاد. لكن الذين اتقوا ربهم لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها نزلا من عند الله، وما عند الله خير للأبرار. وإن من أهل الكتاب لمن يؤمن بالله وما أنزل إليكم وما أنزل إليهم خاشعين لله لا يشترون بآيات الله ثمنا قليلا، أولئك لهم أجرهم عند ربهم، إن الله سريع الحساب. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. We went through Surah Al Imran, and today inshallah we're going to start from Ayah 196. As we've been mentioning from the very beginning, the very basics of this surah, one of the fundamental things discussed in the surah is the issue of the Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book. And that's why the surah itself is called Surah Al Imran, the family of Imran. And this is Imran being the father of Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. So today's subject will go back in depth talking about the people of the book, those people of the book who actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, forgives them and gives them salvation. And we hear this again and again from many people, the misunderstanding just referring to these types of verses in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will forgive the people of the book, He will forgive the Jews and the Christians because they believe in the books that was sent to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not the case. Because many verses in the Quran tell us that if they do not have iman in Allah, they do not have iman in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the last prophet, they don't have iman in the Quran, then their previous iman is not going to be acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so the condition for the people of the book to be forgiven is that either they came before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they practiced the Bible or the teachings of Isa alayhi salam, then that will be acceptable to them. But once they get the message from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then they have to take that message. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in Surah Al-Bayyinah that the people of the book that did kufr, لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ مُنْفَكِينَ حَتَّى تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةِ رَسُولٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو صُحُفًا مُطَهَّرَةً فِيهَا كُتُبٌ قَيِّمَةٌ وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةُ. And then later on, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أُولَئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Indeed, those people that did kufr from the people of the book, there's going to be in the hellfire. So this means those people that rejected the message from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did kufr, therefore they disbelieved, and now their iman on the previous scriptures is not going to be acceptable. So this is one of the main things that will be discussed today. But the first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about an issue which we discussed, I believe, in the previous lesson, and that was the issue of people seeing the disbelievers that they're enjoying themselves so much. They have money, they have houses, they have cars, they have riches, they're living a wonderful lifestyle. So the question comes in a person's mind is why that we, the people of Iman, we are going through so much turmoil. Each turmoil you hear about in the whole world, the majority of it is related to a Muslim country. And yet here we see people who are disbelievers, and they are committing sin after sin, and yet they are living this wonderful lifestyle. What is this? You know, why is it? It's unfair that we are mu'min and yet we are treated this way by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this misconception should be taken out of our minds. Remember that Fir'aun was the richest person of his time. He had a huge kingdom, and yet despite all of that, he was destroyed and ultimately he ended up in the hellfire. Qarun, he was so rich that the keys of his treasures used to be picked up by camels and strong men. So if the keys were so big and so huge, what about the treasures themselves? So being rich and having everything in this world is not a guarantee of success. It doesn't mean that Allah is happy with me, that's why I'm getting all of this. We have this misconception, Allah must be happy with me, that's why I have a nice job. And if we lose the job, Allah is displeased with me, that's why I lost the job. And that's not necessarily the case. That is not necessarily the case. We as Muslims have to be continuous, we have to be steadfast, we have to be consistent in our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in our a'mal, in our good deeds. And that consistency is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. Whether we are in a good situation or a bad situation, our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must always be there. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنْ أَصَابَتُ السَّرَّاءِ فَشَكَرْ كَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتُ الدَّرَّاءِ صَبَرْ كَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. This is a very strange situation for the mu'min, that every situation is actually good for him. If a good situation happens to him, he is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course he shows his gratitude by being obedient and more thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praying more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is good for him. And if a problem happens to him, if he goes through some trouble in his life, he has patience, and this is also good for him. In both situations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him. So in the case of the disbelievers, we should not think that they are in a good situation, so therefore Allah must be pleased with them. This is the thing that Allah discusses in the very first ayah. Allah says, لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ. The people who are doing kufr, they're wandering around, their taqallub, their, you know, taqallub actually means to have, you know, these situations, various situations. Allah says that this situation of theirs, meaning their situation of being rich and happy and all of these things put together, لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ, it should not fool you. The fact that they're wandering around fil bilad, in the country, in the various countries, the fact that they're, you know, enjoying their life, it should not fool you. Mata'un khalil. This is a very small benefit. How much are they going to enjoy themselves? 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 100 years maximum. How much more can they enjoy themselves? At the end of the day, everything has to be left behind. ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ. Then their abode will be the hellfire. So basically what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does tend to do is that if a person does any good deed and yet he doesn't have iman, Allah will replace, or he will pay back that good deed in this world, and in the hereafter there is nothing. And as for their committing sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is istidraj from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word istidraj means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is letting them go, letting them go, letting them go, and ultimately they'll be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, according to another verse. So Allah says, مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ, they're going to benefit a little bit, and then their abode is going to be the hellfire. وَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ, and what a bad abode this is. Obviously, the punishment is going to be eternal, an everlasting, never-ending punishment. So who is better off? That person who has iman and he spent his life penniless, and ultimately he faces Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him eternally? Or that person who enjoyed this life and he faced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without iman, with kufr, and then he has eternal hellfire and eternal punishment? So this is the thing that we have to always remind ourselves of, that being rich and all of these things doesn't necessarily mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with me. We should remember this. Very important. لَكِنِ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْ رَبَّهُمْ. But those people that have taqwa of their Lord, meaning they feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. For them, there are gardens underneath which anhar, rivers, will be flowing. According to a verse from the Quran, there are four types of rivers in Jannah. There is a river of honey, a river of milk, river of sharab and tahura, and river of water. And all of these things, they will always remain fresh. All of these things, they will always remain fresh, and they will be beautiful. And we hear this all the time. Min tahtiha al-anhar, underneath. Underneath the jannat, there will be rivers flowing. So how could it be? You know, we cannot imagine. Is the floor going to be transparent and we're going to be seeing these rivers flowing underneath the ground? Or how is it going to be? Or are they going to be flowing underneath the palaces of the people of Jannah? According to some riwayat, a person is going to be able to control those rivers. So if he gets kind of bored with a view, he just basically says, okay, I want the river to be facing this way. This river to go here, this river to go here, and now the view changes. So a person can, you know, if a person thinks about it, you know, a person thinks about, you know, buying a property on the ocean front, but how much is a person going to enjoy it? He's going to enjoy it for 2 weeks, or 4 weeks, or a month, or 2 months, but ultimately, it becomes an everyday thing. So you don't enjoy it anymore. So in Jannah, a person is going to have control even of the scenery that is around him, and he's going to be able to control it. So that's a wonderful thing. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And they're going to stay in it forever and ever. This is the most wonderful thing. The reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be eternal and everlasting. And a person will be, you know, death will be put to death before a person goes into paradise. The death will be put to death. There will be no more death. And this will be the ultimate in happiness, that bliss, that pleasure, that enjoyment that I'm going to get now is not going to finish. Whereas in this world, whatever enjoyment we have, you know, I might lose my job tomorrow, then I'm going to be in trouble. Or I might, all my stocks that I've invested in, the stock market might crash tomorrow. You know, what's going to happen to me? And even if all of these things don't happen, ultimately, I'm going to get old and die anyway. So there seems to be kind of no point to all of this enjoyment when ultimately we have to leave this world. But the ultimate pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be that we'll get that eternal reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will be everlasting and it will never ever finish. Nuzulam min indillah. This will be a nuzul. Nuzul means when a guest comes to your house and you make a preparation for him, you know, this is called in Arabic nuzul. What's the English word for that? When a person prepares something for his guests. Hospitality, yeah, hospitality. This will be hospitality directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nuzulam min indillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the host and we'll be his guests. If you can imagine that. You know, if you think that, you know, a king of a country invites you to his palace and he prepares a dinner for you, how much honored we would be. This is Malikul Mulk, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You know, he is preparing hospitality for us. Nuzulam min indillah. This is hospitality from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِلْأَبْرَارِ. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with him, this is better for the abrar. Abrar is the plural of bar. Bar meaning those people that do good. This will be the hospitality from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is better for them. Now, going back to the subject which I mentioned before, it's the issue of the people of the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَمَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ خَاشِعِينَ لِلَّهِ. This is the criteria. If the people of the book want salvation, if they want to enter paradise, then this is the exact criteria that they need to follow. The translation, indeed, from the people of the book are those people that had iman on Allah. وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ, and also they have iman on what was revealed to you, meaning revealed to the Muslims, the Quran. وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, and they have iman on what was revealed to them. And this is خَاشِعِينَ لِلَّهِ, because they have khushu, they have submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the criteria. They have to have iman in all of these things. They cannot say that I believe in Jesus and Jesus is my savior and the Quran is a fabricated thing and I don't believe in Muhammad and expect to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the criteria that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. And there are many, many hadith which indicate this. And first of all, there are some ayat which discuss this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُ الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ هُمْ بِهِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Those people that we gave them the book from before him, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, هُمْ بِهِ يُؤْمِنُونَ, and they have iman in him, meaning they have iman in the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those are the ones that are going to be forgiven. And another verse, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. Those people that we gave the book, they recite it as it should be recited, meaning if they recite it as it should be recited, they have to have iman in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because their books, they told them that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come and he will have these qualities. So that's what it means, يَتُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. Those people have iman in him, meaning in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَىٰ أُمَّةٌ يَهْدُونَ بِالْحَقِّ وَبِهِ يَعْدِلُونَ. There are some people from the people of Musa alayhi salam, they are guided with the truth and they are just with it. So even from amongst the Jews, some of them do become Muslims, but it's not something which is very common. Even from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not many Jews used to become Muslim. And even to this day and age, it is few and far between that Jews actually become Muslim. The majority of people that revert back to Islam or convert back to Islam are Christians, and this is the common trend. And there are other verses. And going to the hadith, it's mentioned about Najashi, when the group of refugees went to Najashi and they recited the Surah Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad, in front of him, he started crying. And when he started crying, his priests and the people that were around him, they also started crying to a degree that all of their beards became wet with tears. It's narrated that when the news came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Najashi had passed away, he told the Sahaba, "Inna akhan lakum bil Habasha qad mat fasallu alayhi." Indeed, your brother who is in Habasha, he has passed away, so pray janazah upon him. And this is the proof that some of the scholars say that Salatul Janazah al-Ghaiba is permissible. But the other scholars who refute that, they say that it is only in the case where a person thinks that maybe Salatul Janazah has not actually been prayed for him, because he was living amongst Christians, therefore they may not have prayed upon him. That's why the Prophet ﷺ did Salatul Janazah al-Ghaiba upon him. Otherwise, you know, it's not really something that is it is supported by Sunnah, except in this case. And according to another riwayat, it's narrated, and Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu قال لما توفي النجاشي قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم استغفروا لأخيكم. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told the Sahaba, make istighfar for your brother who passed away. And so this is basically those people that had iman in their books and they had iman in the Quran, then and only then they will get this reward. And not only that, according to the ayah in Suratul Hadid, يُؤْتَوْنَا or يُؤْتَيْنِ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. Those people are given a double reward. Why? Because they had iman in their own Prophet, and they believed in it, and they practiced it, and then when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, then they will also get reward for that. So they get a double reward for practicing the teachings of two prophets. So this is the reward for people of the book who actually accept Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the prophet. And this is also supported in the by a hadith of Sahihain. It's narrated, Abu Musa radiallahu anhu says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاثة يؤتون أجرهم مرتين. There are three kinds of people that are given their reward twice, and one of them is the people of the book that had iman in their own prophet and then had iman in Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these people of the book, لا يشترون بآيات الله ثمنا قليلا. They don't sell the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a meager price. And we've discussed this before, that many of the people of the previous scriptures used to change the teachings. Why? Because somebody came to them for a fatwa and offered them money, and then they just changed it. Or because their credibility, or because their position was at stake with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming, so they gave preference to their position and they said, no, these verses are not about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're about somebody else. So they basically sold themselves out. But those people of the book that are going to be forgiven, they're not like that. They accept truly what the verses of their books tell them, and they accept them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. For them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a great reward with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them personally for their iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is going to be swift in his reckoning, in his hisab. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the people of iman, and he guides them and says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. O people of iman, have sabr. And we mention again and again, sabr is not just when a person has troubles, he has sabr. Sabr is of many kinds. To remain steadfast upon good deeds, this is a form of sabr. And to stay away from ma'asi and sins, this is a form of sabr. And again, to have sabr and patience when a person is going through difficulty, this is also a form of sabr. So all these forms of sabr that we have to adopt. وَصَابِرُوا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says صَابِرُوا. صَابِرُوا means that in the event of a conflict, you remain steadfast. This is what it means. In the event of a conflict, when you have problems, you remain steadfast. This is the meaning of sabiru. And rabitu means, the general meaning of rabitu is from the word ribat, and a person who guards the border of a Muslim country, this is known as ribat. But the Sahaba said that this ayah is not about that kind of guarding. Although that guarding of a Muslim country, guarding the border, has its own virtue, but this is not what this ayah is about. It is mentioned in a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِمَا يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْخَطَايَا وَيَرْفَعُ بِهِ الدَّرَجَاتِ إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوءِ عَلَى الْمَكَارِهِ وَكَثْرَةُ الْخَطَاءِ لِلْمَسْجِدِ وَانْتِظَارُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ فَذَلِكُمُ الرِّبَاطِ فَذَلِكُمُ الرِّبَاطِ فَذَلِكُمُ الرِّبَاطِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, shall I not tell you about that thing with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins and he raises the statuses of people? إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوءِ عَلَى الْمَكَارِهِ. Doing the wudu properly despite difficulty. It's a freezing cold day, your water heater is broken down, and the water that's coming out is freezing, and yet you make wudu properly. This is a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if a person does that. وَكَثْرَةُ الْخُطَاءِ لَلْمَسَاجِدِ. A lot of steps to the masjid. The further away a person is from the masjid, and he comes to the masjid, and he takes a lot of steps to come to the masjid, this is also a great reward. And the last thing, to wait for one salat until the next salat. A person prayed maghrib, stayed in the masjid, made the dhikr, listened to a dars, recited Quran until the next salat. The Prophet ﷺ said, these are actions of ribat. This is a ribat. a ribat, a border between him and the shaytan. So this is what is meant over here according to the sayings of the Sahaba. They said this is what is meant in the ayah. Otherwise, when the Quran was being revealed, the Muslims had not even got the victory of other countries. There wasn't any country which was, which had been conquered until even after the Prophet ﷺ had died. So therefore, the scholars inclined towards this interpretation of ribat, that you remain steadfast and you do all of these amal, and by doing these amal, you make yourself either ribat, a barrier between yourself and shaitan, or a barrier between yourself and the hellfire. So this is what it means by rabitu, make ribat, make a barrier for yourself. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you may be successful. With this, the surah of Ali Imran is completed, and inshallah we're going to be doing another surah from next week. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.